Turn with me, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I think this is going to be something you'll get something out of. I really, really believe that. Sometimes you come with fear and trembling. Oh, Lord, you really want me to share that? This may be one of those, but I think it's going to be good. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," that is, prodigality, uncontrolled lifestyle. In other words, he said, don't be drinking, you know, be drunk with wine. That's excessive. That's like the prodigal son who spent everything. And but verse 19 says, I hadn't finished that one yet. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. What Spirit? The Spirit of God. And how do we do that? Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Wow. That's such a profound verse, but we usually just breeze on by that. Okay, well, praise God. Hallelujah, Lord. But we don't see how powerful that is sometimes. I want to talk today about being filled with the Spirit. And I'm not really talking about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's when you're first really filled with the Spirit. But I want to talk about being continually filled with the Spirit, staying filled with the Spirit, filling yourself up with the Spirit. It's something we actually have to do, and that's why the Bible mentions this. But be filled with the Spirit. And I'm also going to give us something kind of practical to take home with us that'll help us in doing this. See, I'll give us a demonstration of what I'm talking about here today. But first, let's lay a little bit of scriptural foundation. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 4, verse 13, very familiar scripture, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. And they had a little discourse, a little conversation about the water in the well. He said, "Give me to drink." He said, "You're a Jew. You asked me for something to drink." And he said, "If you knew who spoke with you, you would ask me for something to drink. Praise God. And I'd give you, and you'd never thirst again." Anyway, it says in verse 13, Jesus answered the woman and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water," this natural water from this well we're standing at, "they shall thirst again." Verse 14, "But whosoever drinks or shall receive of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." I think we've got a plaque beside the door out there with that verse on it. Wellspring Church. Well of living water springing up. You see, as believers in Christ, there is a well or a fountain of spiritual water inside of each of us. And you might say, "You mean little old me?" Well, yeah, little old me, little old you. All of us, everyone has it in us. He says, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall have a well within him." Now, the harder question is, how do we drink from it? There's the elusive question. How do we drink of the well of water that's in us? Well, and the Holy Spirit within us is the living well of water. We'll see that. There's a lot of things we call the Holy Spirit. We call him the anointing. The anointing was on that. Well, no, you mean the Holy Spirit was. Well, yeah, that's what I meant. You know, there are other words like the power of God, the beauty of the Lord. All these things, they refer to the Holy Spirit. Now, in John chapter 7, just a couple of chapters later, we see Jesus speaking along this line again. And there are several other places right in there, and I'm just going to refer to two of them. John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus went to a feast in Jerusalem, and he stayed there a while, preached in the temple and so forth. It says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Is any man thirsty? Come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.'" Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given at that time, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Remember that Jesus said, unless I go to the Father, you can't receive the Holy Spirit. But if I go to him, I'll send him. I'll send the Comforter to you. So the living water Jesus spoke of is the Holy Spirit. I mean, that just seems almost intuitive, but yet sometimes we miss that. The living water that all of us have inside of us. But that still doesn't tell us how to drink it, does it? Praise God. Nice to know I've got a well of living water, but how do I get to it? Where is it? Blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get some of that. We did the song, Drinking from the Well. Well, how do you let your bucket down into the well? Anyway, but Ephesians 5:19 tells us how to. And we read it a minute ago. Let's read it again. Speaking, or that is singing. Singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is how we get filled with the Spirit. And by the way, I forgot to mention earlier in that scripture, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, while you're in the midst of them, while you're singing them in those songs. Now, what are psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Okay, we could go into a word study if you wanted to. And you'd probably end up getting confused, you know. Okay, that means that, it means that. This first word, hymns, actually, psalms, comes from a word that means to strike the strings of an instrument. Praise God. In other words, be filled by striking the strings of an instrument. And the other words mean things, but for the sake of simplicity, those things mean songs that are anointed by the Spirit of God. Songs that have the anointing of the Spirit. Again, when you say the anointing is a manifestation of the Spirit. You know, you think, well, there's this power. Well, it's the Holy Spirit. He's a Him. But we say the anointing. We understand what that means, at least in charismatic churches. So, the first thing we need to see and understand is that being filled with the Spirit, drinking of the living water, has to do with singing anointed music. Selah. Pause and think about that. What do we do on Sunday mornings? We come in and we sing anointed music. We sing anointed songs unto the Lord. Now, we could just as easily do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and so on. But yeah, we definitely do it on Sunday morning. And what does it do to us? It picks us up into another place. It always does that. So a singing, being filled with the Spirit has to do with singing anointed music. Praise God. I think about Pastor John. Now, I don't need to put him on the spot or anything, but he's probably one of the most Spirit-filled persons I've ever seen. He's always full of the Spirit. And how do I know that? Because he's always singing. I mean, he'll be listening to music in the house, and he'll come down the hall, and you can hear him half a block away singing. He's always singing. He does that all the time. And he's always filled with the Spirit. I mean, I can tell that every time I see he's always bubbling over. But that's I never really thought about it until I got into the Scripture. You know, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. People who do that a lot get filled with the Spirit. Now, singing anointed music. Now, what do I mean by anointed music? Well, I think we probably all know intuitively, Christian music is anointed. Amen. It's supernaturally enhanced by the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't explain how, but the Spirit of God is somehow in it and on it. And that's what we call the anointing. Amen. See, Christian music is not just music. It has a spiritual element to it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Are you still with me or did you go home? Seems like folks are getting it, so praise God. You know, I played pop music for all my teenage years and 10 years of my adult life. But when I got saved, I began to attend a Baptist church over in Bassett. And I noticed something different about the music. I'd played music all my life. These hymns they were singing, you know. And there was just something ethereal about them, heavenly sounding about them. And they had a heavenly beauty about them that I just never noticed before in all the music I'd played over all those years. Never sensed the anointing. First of all, I wasn't saved. I couldn't sense it. Secondly, I'd never listened to anointed music. I remember listening to that congregation singing those old hymns. I didn't know the songs, but I said, that's really pretty, the way that melody went there and came back, and that's so beautiful. You know, there's a scripture we're all familiar with, Psalm 27:4. I'll just read it. It's David, Psalm of David. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to do what? To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. See, David talks about beholding the beauty of the Lord. And that, of course, is another reference to the Holy Spirit, the beauty of the anointing that's on songs as we sing them. And it was that way the first time I heard Spirit-filled worship like we had this morning over at the house there, at Dr. Marshall's house, where the church was meeting on Hazelwood Lane. And I came one Sunday afternoon because I was going to help do some recording, a program they were going to do for radio. And I was just going to see what was going on. And I came about 3 p.m, and they were still there worshiping. I mean, a crowd of young people, 15, 20, 30 people down in the basement worshiping. It was like 3 p.m. I said, what is this? Anyway, I started down the steps. I got about halfway down. I just sat down and began to weep. Just the most beautiful thing I ever heard in my life. I said, that is so amazing. And so that was the anointing upon the music, that endowment of the Spirit, you might say, upon the music. So I'd played the most popular music the world had to offer, but I never experienced the anointing of the Spirit on it. Hallelujah. And those worldly songs won't fill you with the Holy Spirit, just to let you know ahead of time. In fact, you may get something that's not anywhere like the Holy Spirit. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, and I love that old music. A lot of people say, well, I just love the classic rock. Keep it on all the time. Well, you know, it's good. It's catchy. Easy to learn. Easy to stick. I know hundreds of those songs. Right now I could play them. But I don't listen to them because they have no eternal value to them. They're nice, but they ain't got that well of living water in them. Praise God. So that's how the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves, not just listening, but singing to yourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's anointed music you're listening to. Now, listening to Christian music isn't the same. Just listening to the music, it's good, but when we participate, when we sing and make melody in our heart, somebody says, well, I listen to Christian music all day. Well, that's wonderful, and that will certainly help you some, but it won't fill you with the Spirit. I mean, it'll pick you up, and you'll get that spiritual element, but it's not the same as participating. See, that's one of the great benefits of participating in worship on Sunday morning. It lifts us to a higher place spiritually. Now, Shua and I were talking about this the other day. Back in the Bible days, they didn't have radios and CDs and MP3s and any of that stuff. All they had was the songs they knew. And they did know songs. They did have songs. Remember Jesus, when they went out from the Last Supper, it said they sang a hymn and went out. So they did sing songs. They did have religious songs, spiritual songs. But they didn't. If you wanted to get filled with the Spirit back in the day that Paul wrote this thing about singing to yourself, you'd have to have some songs in you, and you'd have to get by yourself, and you'd have to just sing them. Well, you know, I mean, you might hear some group of minstrels out there playing if you were fortunate, but most of the time you just had to come up with it yourself. You know, but in the last 50 years, the Lord has dumped so much anointed music on us. We're just absolutely spoiled right now. I mean, none of us have any excuse not to be filled with the Spirit. We don't have any excuse at all. And There's more anointed music now than ever. So we're just without excuse. Anyway. So what I'm talking about here, and I just realized it as I was putting this message together, this is something I learned 30 years ago. I didn't know what to title it or call it, but it was something, you know, you have certain milestones in your Christian life. I had the milestone of being saved. Anybody remember when you got saved? Praise, that was a milestone in your life. Anybody remember when you got baptized with the Holy Spirit? Praise God. That was a milestone in your Christian walk.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, praise God. It was New Year's Eve, hallelujah. And at 3 years later, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I learned what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for. I learned it was to be used to enter into the presence of God. See, having it's one thing, but knowing how to use it and what to do with it. Well, that was a milestone in my life. October 1983. Well, there was another milestone that came along in 1993. And let me just share this, tell you the story about this. Back in 1989, way back in the Stone Age, a few of us in the worship team at the church, it was Martinsville Fellowship then, but we went up to Roanoke to a praise and worship seminar. And in the meeting, we noticed, man, this congregation is like our church. They were playing the same songs, you know, doing all that stuff. In fact, they were playing the song Celebrate Jesus. Remember that one? Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We had that one down pat. It's a great song. I loved it. But they were playing that song, and I said, man, they're just like us. They play just like us and have everything. This is a great church. Anyway, and I was pretty well practiced in praise and worship. I mean, I was a worship leader for about 4 or 5 years before that at that time. And so I knew what it was to worship. That's why we were at the seminar. We wanted to learn more about it. Our church had really good times in the Lord's presence. And if I'm really honest about it, we may have been just a little puffed up about it. It could have happened. You know, when you got something going on in the Lord, it's easy to cultivate being puffed up and arrogant about it. We got all this going on, right? Praise God. Well, said boasting in the Lord instead of boasting in what you got. That's true. It's an easy thing to cultivate. But anyway, at this particular worship seminar in Roanoke, the guest minister was a young man named Don Dalton. Don Dalton, his wife Valerie. Don and Valerie Dalton. Were you there? Okay, well, it was incredible, wasn't it? Praise God. I've got a witness here who saw this happen.
That was one of those.
It was for me. And he and his wife, they were on the Integrity Hosanna albums, you know, and they were some of the singers. They wrote that song, what is it? Draw Me, the one we did this. Draw me, Lord. And they also wrote another song called Send Your Rain, Pour Out Your Spirit, Water All the Earth. Beautiful song. Anyway, he was setting up his keyboard. The band was playing Celebrate Jesus, Celebrate. And we were celebrating. And he was walking around carrying his keyboard out there, setting it up in the middle of the floor. And when he was all set and the band finished playing, I don't know if you remember this, Tim, it just astounded me. The young man played one chord on his keyboard. I think it was key of C. And he started in with the old Bob Fitz song, very slowly. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. And we were just lifted up into this place.
The Holy Spirit was so thin.
We were lifted up to a place, yeah. I was dumbfounded, to tell you the truth, because we had come right out of Celebrate Jesus and had stepped over in one of the deepest dimensions of worship I'd ever been in. And there was this guy playing a piano and singing. I said, what is this?
I think everybody there came wanting to worship, and it just exploded.
It did. It really did. The whole room, everybody, it was instantly lifted up to a place of worship as powerful as any worship I'd ever been in. And I was dumbfounded because we didn't even have to work our way over into it. That's the way we do. which is keep on. Just keep going, you know, and you'll eventually get over to that place where the presence of the Lord comes and you're entering into the Holy of Holies. This is the way we were taught. But that day, he just played a chord and boom, we were there. Glory to God. It was wonderful. And the worship was very intense. Tim will bear witness with that. Yeah, very, very intense and very good. And I studied. I was a worship leader. I was there to learn something. I studied what he did. Yeah. I studied what he did. I looked at the chords he was playing, the intermittent chords he was playing, the speed of the song, the tempo, and I even made a recording of it. And I said, I got this thing down, man. This is good stuff. I got this down. Well, being a worship leader, when I got home, I'm going to do this myself. Praise God, I learned something good today. And the best I could do, I couldn't make it happen. I couldn't make it happen. I said, Lord, what is this? I got this great thing. I heard this guy do that. But when I did it, it didn't work. So I didn't know what was wrong. And I prayed about it one day. I remember pulling off the side of the road one day. I was down towards Spruce Street somewhere. And I just pulled off the road and said, Lord, would you please show me something about this? Would you please help me to know how to get over into that place that guy was at? Lord, just teach me. I don't know how to. I want to really bad. But anyway, I kind of prayed. I let it go. I just forgot about it. Fast forward 4 years later. 4 years later, 1993. I hope y'all not getting too bored by some of these details. But I had a job back in those days. I was working with Rick Lawson. I had a job going door to door asking donations for fire departments and rescue squads. You think that's an easy job, going to houses and ask total strangers for money? But by His grace.
So this was in 1993?
Okay,
so 4 years before that was 1989.
So the conference was in 89. 89. And that's when I said, man, this is great. I want this, but I couldn't make it happen.
Right.
And so I'd been going door to door over in Patrick County for the Jeb Stuart Rescue Squad in Patrick Springs. And every time I'd take a break, I'd go out and knock on doors 30, 40 minutes, take a break, and I'd get in my car and just relax a little bit. I'd pray in tongues for about 5-10 minutes. Because it helped me, my confidence. When I came out of praying in tongues, I was confident to knock on strangers' doors and ask them for money. I mean, it took a little bit of extra boost there. And now, during that time in 93, Susan Smith used to go to churches. So she gave me a copy of an album by Kent Henry called Purify My Heart. Familiar with that one? And so I said, okay. She said, listen to this if you would. And I said, okay, I'll listen to it. So back and forth from where my location, I'd listen to the tape, you know, in my car and just listen to it and sing along with it, whatever. And it seemed like a pretty good album. And on a certain day, while I was out working on location, I turned my tape player on just after I'd prayed in the Spirit about 10 minutes. And I was getting ready to go home. I was done for the evening. And the song came on, I Want to Be More Like You. You remember that one? Want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. And as I listened, I got caught up in the anointing on the song. You see, before I just listened to the music and the words, which of course were good, but this time somehow I tuned into the anointing that was on it. Just somehow I connected with that anointing. It grabbed me and boom, I was back to that place I'd experienced 4 years ago in the Don Dalton meeting. I was in worship, and somehow I tuned into the anointing. The Lord had answered my prayer I'd prayed 4 years earlier. How to get there? How to get there? Remember, I couldn't make it happen before. Most of the time, we focus on the lyrics and the melody of a song, and that's one of the reasons we sometimes get tired of it real quick, because we're just looking at the soulish part of it. We don't lock on to that enhancement of the Spirit, that anointing that's on it. I'd listened to that song many times, but on that day I locked into the anointing. And I drove home that evening. I was living over here on Rivermont Heights, and the church was meeting here, of course. And I went upstairs. I got my guitar, went upstairs, and got into a comfortable seat, a little swivel chair. And I played that song for about 3 hours. I want to be more like you. Ring, ding, ding, playing along. Because, see, I'd caught that anointing. I was in that anointing. It was easy to do. No effort, you know. So good, so rich, and almost no effort at all. And doing that, from that moment on, doing that became the focus of my life. Praise God, I found something worth doing here. Spending time in that worship anointing, which of course is the presence of the Lord. Have you ever heard the expression, worshiping with your face to the wall? Don Potter wrote a song. He wrote a book or a song about it. I've never written the book, but I know what he's talking about. When you get caught up in worship to the point that you're not paying attention whether anybody's there or not, it makes no difference. It's just you and the Lord. You got your face against the wall. I don't need to know what's going on out here. And so I would do that. I would build my life. I built my life around that. I'd go out and work, and then when I took breaks, I'd turn on the tape. I took my guitar with me. I'd play, and I'd do that. And the more I did it, just the better it got. And so that thing of worshiping to the wall means being caught up in worship so much that you'll spend hours doing it, not even think about it. And you might say we're drinking from the well. Amen. Drinking from the well. How? By singing, making melody in my heart to the Lord. That's exactly what we're doing. We're drinking living water. We are being spiritually refreshed. Now, about that time, I'm still talking about 1993, a few of us started getting together on Friday nights and playing our guitars and worshiping the Lord. I mean, who does that anyway? Come on now. Who does that? A bunch of nut jobs, which we had suddenly become a bunch of nut jobs. You know, and that's when Chris Lawson came along, got saved. He bought him a guitar, started following us around and all those little Friday night get-togethers. And he learned to play guitar, became a worship leader. Yeah. Now, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, right? That was what our original topic was. So here's the point. If we spend time singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, we will become filled with the Spirit. It may not happen instantly, but it will. Oh, I'm going to get to some other stuff here in a second. Here's another truth. If we neglect to do that, even if we have a call on our life from the Lord to be a worship leader or whatever, we'll just have an ordinary anointing. Everybody's anointed. Every believer's anointed. But you can enhance that by singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And here's another quick point about that. Things the Lord shows you, the filling of the Spirit, the filling yourself with the Spirit is cumulative. Yes. What do I mean by that? I mean the more we do it, the more we do what I'm talking about here, the more filled with the Spirit we become. Yes. Or you could say the more anointed we become. That's one way of saying that, but filled with the Spirit and anointed mean the same thing. It builds up. It accumulates as we do more of it. Amen. I heard a worship leader teaching a message years ago about what he called the pool of anointing. The pool of anointing. He got that expression from some Old Testament scripture way back in one of the prophets somewhere. I don't remember where it was, but we know that Jesus said that he that drinks of this water shall have within him a well. A well, a pool of anointing. And so we know that that sounds like, well, that could be a good scriptural idea. But in that particular meeting where he was teaching on this, we had a long worship time on Friday evening. Oh, I know, I think we went probably to 10 o'clock, just worshiping. Because that's what it was about, praise and worship. And then we ended the meeting, went to the motel, had something to eat maybe, I can't remember. Got a few hours sleep, got up, checked out of the motel, got breakfast, got back to the meeting at 9 a.m. Right. And And so we went into the meeting on Saturday morning, and the guy said, "I know you guys are tired. You know, we've been really busy, and you know you didn't have time to get much rest. But remember I was talking last night about the pool of the anointing?" He said, "I want you to lift your hands." And he played a few chords on the piano. And suddenly, hallelujah, we were right back into that place again. Because that anointing had pooled up inside of us. See, it wasn't like we had to get back up there. We were already still there, although we were tired. Didn't, you know, man, when's this meeting going to be over? You know, when's this seminar going to be over? You're kind of tired. You get physically tired. But wow. He showed us that when you do this, when you worship, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, that it puts something spiritual in you that stays with you for a while. It stays for a little while, but if you neglect to do it again, it'll dissipate. Oh, how I've learned this over the years. Anyway, so our worship of the previous evening had accumulated within us somehow. It had pulled up, and we started that morning meeting right where we left off the night before. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that as we sing to the Lord, make melody to Him in our hearts, we add a certain measure of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God to our life, and it stays there a while. Whatever that thing is, you can't put your finger on, but you know it's there when it's there. And then we can add more to it until we get fully filled, completely full. See, just because we worship a little bit, a few hours, that doesn't mean we're totally filled with the Spirit. We are being filled with the Spirit. That was some. That added to the measure. But if you do more and more and more of it, you get more filling, more filling. So finally, I want to get to the place that we're filled with the Spirit. I want to talk a little bit about that. Gosh, let me interject something else here. Haven't we interjected enough stuff? Praise God. Acts 6, verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, or full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Praise God. You see, there's a connection between being filled with the Spirit and doing signs and wonders and miracles. Now, see, he said full of faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. You get full of faith by hearing the Word, your time in the Word, feeding on the Word. But there's another aspect of that, and that's being filled with the Spirit. You put those two together, then you've got something. See, during this time back in 93, you know, I was a worship leader. We used paper copies back in those days. We didn't have all the stuff we have now. So I came over here one day to the church to make some copies of some songs and or something. While I was there, a lady who went to church at the church at that time, she came in and she had her young son, 11 or 12 years old, and she was looking for the pastor, a pastor, to pray for him. Pray for him because he had this lump on his neck, this big lump, maybe a goiter or something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I saw it, and I ran into him out here in the foyer, and I said, "Well, you know, pastor's gone. I don't know if he's going to be back today. But if you'd like, I'll pray for you." And she said, "Oh, that'd be great." So I put my hand on his neck and prayed whatever little prayer I could pray. "God, heal him in Jesus' name." You know, God's the one who does stuff. All we can do is pray the best prayer we know how to. It's not us doing it. Jenny said that a little few minutes ago. I'm sure glad it's not us making this happen. It wouldn't happen. Anyway, just did the best little prayer I could come up with, prayed for him. Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, on Sunday morning, that was on a Wednesday. On Sunday morning, I was up here and we were, you know, going through sound check and whatever. I noticed that kid come walking through the door back there, and as he was coming up here, he was doing this. And he got up here to where I leaned down here. What he said, "It's gone. It's gone. It's gone." Praise God. And I didn't see any lightning flashes when I prayed for him. Didn't feel a thing. Just did the best I could. But see, being filled with the Spirit, that's the key right there. You believe in healing. You believe in the Word of God, but yet you got that infilling of the Spirit. Now, it makes you supernatural and natural. And Let's see. Okay, here we go. See, I was still leading worship in the church. I've been leading the worship as the worship leader for about 5 years at that time. 5 or 6, something like that. And the worship meeting started to be a little more intense about that time. Remind me of what we did this morning. I mean, I'm telling you what, that was an amazing time we had this morning. We were meeting on Sundays over at the junior high in Martinsville, the old junior high school. Because we had outgrown this place, a big crowd, you know, and we'd go over there because it would, you know, we could fit the people easily. So we'd take our equipment every Sunday, set it up, all this sound equipment and everything. Whew. Man, I'm telling you, that's a lot on Sunday morning, you know. We have a hard enough time just getting to church on Sunday morning, much less having to do all that. So anyway, we were doing our sound check one morning after setting everything up, and I began to play the song. Y'all might remember this. I began to play the song, Take Me Into the Holy of Holies. Remember that one? Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Anyway, and it's like the Lord, I was telling Shua about this the other day. He said, you know, sometimes it seems like the Lord can't wait to get started. Amen. That's what it was. That morning, it was like he couldn't wait to get started. So the entire worship team got caught up in the Spirit, practicing that song. I mean, everybody. And we were into some of what my friend Dan Cardwell used to call gut-wrenching worship. We had a gut-wrenching practice session. I mean, we were up there and people just, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Well, I began to watch what was going on. The Bible says watch and pray, you know. And anyway, I look back at the back door of the auditorium. And I would see people come into the back door and they'd kind of look around like, what's going on here? What's going on? And then they'd walk down and some of them would run down to the front of the, in front of the stage and fall down on their face and begin to, some of them begin to weep. And I'm saying, my God, what's happening here? They begin to do that and that's how intense it was. I'm not kidding you right now. I mean, God is my witness. I'm not making this up. Some of you may remember that day. And by the way, man cannot make that happen anyway. If I could make that happen, I'd make it happen every week. Praise God. If I could make that kind of intense thing happen without God's help, any of us would do it every week. Just try it. It only happens by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And that's what we want. What's stuff that happens by the Holy Spirit. So, and somebody came down to the front of the stage while all this was going on, this hullabaloo of whatever it was. It was God, is what it was. And they came down, they wanted to stop the music and welcome the people and then start back.
It wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening. I'm sorry. I mean, I was thinking, well, why should we stop and go through that when we're already at the place we're trying to get in the meeting? Because if we stop, we'll never be able to get back there again. I've seen it happen before. You have a tremendous anointed worship rehearsal, and then you start the meeting, and you can't get in that anointing. You just can't seem to get there for some reason. So the Lord was already there. The atmosphere was already charged with His presence. Why do we need to go through the routine now and start it over? Well, it's kind of funny. I got in a little bit of hot water over that day. See, much to my surprise, I found out that not everybody in the church wanted that kind of intense worship. It never occurred to me. Who wouldn't want that? I guess I was just ignorant but full of zeal, you know. One thing you need to learn somewhere along the way is not everybody doesn't think the way you think. Sometimes people have, most of the time people have different ideas than you do. And when the whole thing became a big fight and a contention, I have to confess I backed away from it. I mean, that's just, I'm confessing before the Lord. I'm sorry to say that I just let that go. This is too intense for me and I can't stand the criticism. They begin to call people who worship like that hyper-worshippers. You know, those hyper-worshippers. Yeah. Yeah, the hyper-worshippers. It says they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping worship. And I said, No, that's right. But anyway, that's kind of the stuff I'd hear through the grapevine. I said, man, what's going on here? I thought I was just doing what we were. I thought we were doing what we were supposed to do. That's what I thought. But anyway, I found out different. But anyhow, so here's the bottom line. If you know, that was 30 years ago. I can talk about it now because it was 30 years ago. If it was last week, I might not be able to talk about it now. But anyway, but the bottom line is, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, all things happen when you get filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you.
It gets messy.
It gets messy. Yeah, sure it does. What's that thing about the ox and the stall, you know? It's really clean if you're not doing anything. It does. It stays with you. It's been in my life for 30 years. I may not have pursued it the way I should have. And I'll confess that I didn't, because I didn't want to get into the place where it started problems again. You know, but every once in a while these days, I mean, the Lord's doing that. The Lord still wants to do that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, we should desire that. How many should desire that? All of us, to be filled with the Spirit. Then we should find some good, anointed Christian worship music and listen to it. Sing along with it. Don't just listen. Sing along with it. If you're a musician, play along with it. Get your guitar or piano, whatever, and play with it. Play along with that anointed music. Flow with the anointing that's on it. And guess what? That anointing will get on you and reside on you and in you. But it'll dissipate if you neglect it. I'm telling you something that works. I knew it worked. I knew it worked for 30 years. Have I done enough of it? No, but lately I've been doing that again, getting back into that place. And you know something, when you start getting filled with the Spirit, you start singing prophetic songs. Yeah. Praise God. You start prophesying over people. You start praying over people and things happen. Because that's what you want to do. You want to get into that stuff, man. Let's pray for somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Watch God move. So you enter into it. You enter into the anointing. And if you want to add to it, then do some more of it. Do some more and some more and some more. And it'll accumulate a little now, a little bit later, a little bit later. It'll pool up until finally you'll be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't happen in one session. But anyway, you'll eventually get filled with the Spirit like Stephen, who was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and he did mighty wonders and miracles among the people. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit, filled with faith. Makes us supernaturally natural. So I want to encourage us to make it a daily habit. And I'm going to give us a demonstration here in a minute of what I'm talking about. And I think you'll feel it and experience it. Praise God. See, if you do this on a daily basis, you'll enter into an amazing dimension of relationship with the Lord that other people don't have who don't do it. Now, I said earlier I'm going to give a demonstration that you can take home with you. But since we're recording this for YouTube, we probably can't do it on the video. I mean, you can keep the video running, but we'll have to cut it out of the session. And we can't put it on. Because we have a license to perform copyrighted songs in the service. We can do that. We have a license for that. Pay for it every year. We don't have a license to record them and publish them. That's another license you have to get. It costs more money. So we'll have to do this demonstration not on the YouTube or the live stream. I don't guess that'll hurt. It probably won't sound too good. But anyway, so all the folks on live stream are watching on YouTube. We say God bless you. Have a wonderful day and be filled with the Spirit. Amen.